Welcome back, dear one. I'm glad you found me again. Last time we walked with Frontinus and his careful waters, systems kept alive by attention. Today I want to show you a quieter craft, not stone or aqueducts. Words, I remember the sound first. Not voices, not footsteps. The brush. Soft, patient, almost shy as it touched the silk. It was late in the palace library, late enough that the lamps burned low and the air smelled faintly of oil and ink. Outside, the world of the Han court slept, or pretended to. Inside, a woman sat alone at a wide table, scrolls unrolled like quiet rivers. Bamboo slips lay stacked to one side, their cords loosened and retied so many times they felt tired. She paused before writing the next line. I watched her fingers hover. Just a moment too long. Because this sentence mattered. If she wrote it one way, a general would be remembered as loyal. Another way, reckless. One word could turn obedience into ambition, prudence into fear. And once written, once copied, those words would harden, they would travel, they would teach. History does that. It pretends to be calm, but it's sharp. The brush finally moved. A single stroke, then another. Steady, unshowy, no flourish. This was not poetry. This was scaffolding. She knew that if she stopped, the story might collapse. Already, too many voices had gone silent. Her brother's voice, especially. The one who had begun this work and left it unfinished, like a bridge that ended in air. Outside the window, a night bird called. Somewhere down the corridor, a guard shifted his weight. But at the table, there was only breath, ink, and responsibility. I lean closer, not to interfere. I never do that, just to remember the feeling. This is how civilizations keep their balance. Not with trumpets, with someone staying late, choosing carefully, and refusing to let memory drift into convenience. Let me tell you who she was. Her name was Ban Zhao, and she lived in the first century of the Han Dynasty, in a world that loved order, hierarchy, and precedent. A world that believed history was not just a record of the past, but a manual for the future. Ban Zhao was born into a family of scholars. That mattered. Books were not foreign objects to her, they were furniture. But even so, her path was narrow. Women were expected to be learned just enough to be proper, just visible enough to be useful, and quiet enough to disappear. She did not disappear. Her brother Ban Gu had begun an enormous task, writing the Book of Han, the official history of a dynasty that wanted very badly to be remembered correctly. Not flatteringly, correctly. That distinction matters. The Han believed that a misremembered past could poison the future. Then Ban Gu died. The work stopped. And stopping was dangerous. Unfinished history is like an unanswered question hanging in the air. Others rush to answer it. Power dislikes silence. Rumor fills gaps quickly and badly. The court knew this, even if it didn't quite know what to do next. So they did something unusual. They asked Ban Zhao to finish it. Not to assist. Not to tidy. To complete it. She moved into the palace library, gaining access to imperial archives few people ever saw. She corrected dates, clarified lineages, weighed reputations. She decided what stayed and what did not. And she did it under watchful eyes, because authority borrowed is always temporary. I watched her work carefully. Not because she was rare, though she was, but because she understood something many historians forget. This episode is supported by Silken Bamboo, writing materials for serious memory. I've seen many kinds of words in my time, dear one. Loud ones, beautiful ones, dangerous ones. And I've learned this. Words that matter should be written on something that can carry their weight. Silken Bamboo provides scrolls and slips crafted for historians, scholars, and anyone who understands that a sentence may need to survive longer than its author. Their silk is smooth enough for careful judgment, strong enough to last generations, and forgiving when a brush pauses just once before telling the truth. Their bamboo slips are bundled with intention, because loose ends in history have a way of becoming problems later. Every set is tested for durability, legibility, and quiet dignity. Silken Bamboo does not promise inspiration, They promise reliability, and sometimes that is the greater gift. Available through Imperial channels only. Ink stains inevitable. Regret not included. Mention History's Arrow podcast and they will give you 10% discount on all items silk and bamboo, because the future will read this. History is not about admiration. It's about responsibility. Ban Zhao knew she was shaping memory itself, and she treated it the way you treat something fragile and alive, with restraint, with care, and with the knowledge that once it leaves your hands, it no longer belongs to you. That, dear one, is where the real story begins. What did it cost her to do this? That is the part most histories rush past. Ban Zhao did not argue in public. She did not shout from balconies or demand a seat she had not been offered. Power like hers did not come with armor. It came with balance and with risk. Every choice she made was visible. Too gentle and she would be accused of favoritism. Too sharp and she would be called dangerous. A man who made an enemy could rely on status to protect him. A woman who made an enemy had only precision. So she was precise. She wrote knowing that the people she described had descendants still walking the halls of power. She wrote knowing that emperors read history not for entertainment, but for instruction. A sentence could justify a policy. A judgment could harden into law. And there was another stake, quieter but heavier. If Ban Zhao failed, the lesson would not be this historian was careless. It would be this experiment should not be repeated. I remember her setting the brush down more than once, not from doubt, but from calculation. How much truth could the moment bear? How much could be said now, and how much must be left for later generations to infer? This is the tension of institutional memory. You don't just tell the truth, you carry it forward without breaking the vessel. Outside the library, life went on. Children were taught their characters, officials memorized rites, farmers watched the sky. All of it depended in some small way on the stories preserved inside those walls. Ban Zhao also wrote something else, Lessons for Women. Many read it only as restraint. I saw it as survival, guidance shaped to the world as it was, not the world she wished for. She was not trying to freeze society. She was trying to give women a way to endure long enough to matter. The stakes were not glory. The stakes were continuity. And continuity, dear one, is how civilizations learn, slowly, imperfectly, but forward. When I step back from her table, when I let the lamps dim and the scrolls rest, I can see where Ban Zhao stands in the longer story. She is not a conqueror. She does not change the map. She changes the memory of the map. I had just come from Rome, you know, from watching Frontinus measure water and gravity and flow. His work made cities livable. You could see it, touch it, drink it. Ban Zhao's work was different. It moved through time the way water moves underground. Quiet. Essential. Invisible until it's gone. This is what I notice again and again as I watch humans learn. Some people build the systems that carry bodies. Others build the systems that carry meaning. Ban Zhao understood that a dynasty survives not by force alone, but by coherence, by knowing who it is, what it values, and how it explains itself to those who come next. History in her hands became an institution, a feedback loop, a way for the living to speak honestly to the unborn. I think often about how careful she was with judgment. She did not flatten people into heroes or villains. She allowed contradiction to remain. That takes courage. Simpler stories are easier to defend. Truer ones last longer. This is survival by tradition, dear one. Not shards dug from the earth centuries later, but threads deliberately carried forward, generation to generation, copied by students who may never know her name but inherit her choices. Even I, who remember more than most, rely on people like her. My own memory frays at the edges of time. Without human caretakers, even a goddess loses the pattern. So when you hear her name spoken softly in classrooms or see her work cited without fanfare, understand this. You are standing inside a structure she helped hold upright. And structures like that do not announce themselves. They simply keep the world from tipping. There is something else Ban Zhao teaches me every time I return to her. Progress is rarely loud. We like to imagine that societies improve because someone shouts the truth and the world finally listens. Sometimes that happens. More often, change survives because someone stays inside the system long enough to bend it, carefully, without breaking it. Ban Zhao believed that learning could correct itself over time, that mistakes, once named and remembered, could become guidance rather than shame. This is the feedback I watch for in human history, the quiet loop where experience becomes lesson and lesson becomes structure. When a court records its failures as well as its triumphs, it gives the future a compass. When it erases them, it hands power to whoever controls the story next. She did not write to impress her own moment. She wrote for stability, for continuity, for a future she would never see. That is an act of agency, dear one. Not the kind that breaks chains in a single blow, but the kind that makes chains unnecessary over generations. I have seen what happens when memory is treated as decoration, when history becomes flattery. Cultures lose their footing. They repeat errors with confidence. They mistake noise for motion. Ban Zhao refused that. She trusted that honesty, carefully placed, would outlast convenience, that institutions could learn, not perfectly, not quickly, but enough to keep moving toward harmony rather than collapse. If you listen closely, you can still hear her discipline in the way later scholars write, in the expectation that history should instruct, not entertain, that it should carry responsibility forward, not bury it. And that is why, when I trace the long arrow of human effort, I pause here, because this is a moment when memory chose to do its job, and because without moments like this, without people like her, the future has no teacher. Before I leave you tonight, let me ask you something, gently. When you think about progress, who do you picture? The ruler who announces it, the general who enforces it, the inventor who speeds it up, or do you think about the person who remembers? Ban Zhao never commanded armies, she never signed edicts, and yet she shaped how power understood itself. She showed that memory is not passive, that choosing what to carry forward is an act of care, and sometimes of courage. I want you to notice the quiet keepers in your own world, the editors, the teachers, the librarians, the people who make sure yesterday is not lost and tomorrow is not blind. Because harmony is not something that appears fully formed, it's something tended. Next time, I'll show you what happens when memory grows lighter, when words no longer belong only to palaces and courts, but can be carried by anyone with ink, fiber, and an idea. We'll meet Chai Lun and watch how a simple invention lets history travel farther than empires ever could. Until then, dear one, take care of what you remember. Much love. I am Harmonia. Oh, one more thing before we go. I have a small favor to ask. If you enjoyed our time together, if this story stirred something in you, please take a moment to give History's Arrow a 5-star rating. It helps others find their way to these echoes of the past. And if you haven't already, be sure to subscribe so you don't miss the next step on our journey through time. Better yet, share this episode with a friend, a fellow traveler, someone who still believes that history matters. And if you're curious about my family, yes, the loud, glorious, divine mess that is the Olympic gods, I tell those stories too in another podcast called The Olympic Family. It's full of love, drama, and plenty of thunderbolts. You can find it wherever you listen to your podcasts. Until next time, keep your heart open to the past and your eyes on the arrow.